What's up, everyone? Tara Roberts here, and welcome into the Dear Miss Fantasy Show. We are the official mailbag show for Player Profiler, and it is a special, special show because we are 1 week away from the NFL draft. So it is time. It is time to talk NFL draft prop bets, and I'm very excited about this because I didn't just approach this from a fantasy angle. Oh, we've got defense, we've got an offensive line prop. So we've gone across the board here. This is all encompassing prop bets for the draft because we know we want to make those bets and make it very, very interesting. It's already interesting enough from a fantasy perspective, but then you can put money on it. It's just, I don't know, it's just fun, right? So let's talk about draft prop bets. We're going to start off here with specific picks. We're going to go through the top five picks and which ones we are betting on, which ones we are not betting on as well, because we're not going sweeping across the board here. We have player-specific picks as well. We have draft position picks. We have a couple of others as well. And then I'm also doing picks that we are avoiding. We're not just going ones that I am specifically targeting. I've got a few here that are massive red flag bets that I just straight up don't want to touch. So we're going to talk about those as well. But let's start off with the happy stuff. We'll start off with the easy ones here. Running through the top five picks and prop bets that we're going to make on those. And obviously we are skipping over the first overall pick. We are not making any bets with the first overall pick because there is 0.2 actually betting that, unfortunately. So we are moving past that one. I know some of us still have, I don't think any of us here, right? But I know there are some people that still have those, you know, it won't be Caleb Williams. If we know it's going to be Caleb Williams, I mean, we can't bet on that, right? The odds are just, you know, you can't do it, right? So we'll start off with the second overall pick because that's actually a pretty easy one that we can go with. Jaden Daniels as the second overall pick. You want to go ahead and lock this in right now because I don't think that the return is going to get any better than what it is right now as of today. And I checked these, I don't know, maybe about like 4 hours ago to try and have the most up-to-date picks, because if you're listening on the podcast version, we are live here Thursday night at 9:15-ish EST. And so these are as of literally just like 4 hours ago. I do not think that this return is going to get any better than what it is today. Right now, it is at minus 160 for Jaden Daniels for the second pick in the NFL draft. So here's the good thing and why we want to take it right now. Washington literally just brought in all the quarterbacks, right? Outside of Caleb Williams, because he is untouchable. They even brought in, Michael Penix as well. So they're just basically bringing in, I don't know if they brought in Bo Nix actually, but we'll get to that later. But they brought in everyone. And so right now, technically speaking, it's kind of like, oh, you know, it could be anybody. But we talked about this on last week's show. Jaden Daniels is the favorite. It is still a worthwhile bet for you to make right now. And while there is some flexibility for Washington, we know that they are zeroing in on a quarterback. They are not planning to trade out of this pick. And more than likely, it is going to be Jaden Daniels here. So this is one of the easier ones that you can make. Return, it's all right. You know, it's obviously, you know, it's at minus 160. So, you know, it's decent, but it's pretty much as comfortable in terms of quarterbacks that you can get with making a bet and feeling like this one is pretty low risk for you. The third pick, though, is where I am okay with placing bets on Drake May here for the third pick at minus 130, which is decent. The line is fine, right? And here's the kicker, right? The line right here for this specific pick, it's for any team. This can be made by any team. And that's ultimately what the issue is with this third overall pick. Technically speaking, we don't know who's going to do it. But I do ultimately think that this pick, regardless of who is actually making this pick, is going to be Drake May. The Patriots are still technically a bit of a wild card here, right? They're not showing their cards completely. We do think that they are going to take a quarterback. But admittedly, they have a lot of holes to fill. This is a pretty incomplete team, and there are a lot of needs here. Technically speaking, they could take Marvin Harrison Jr., but talking through it when you talk about either them taking a quarterback or taking a haul for another team to come in and take a quarterback, May is the one who would more than likely go right here. So from that perspective, regardless of who's taking it, looking at this pick specifically for Drake May, that is the angle that we want to go with. With New England, they're admitting that they are resetting the franchise. Jared Mayo is a first-year head coach, and realistically, you know, they know where they are. They know where they are. And if Minnesota or Denver comes in guns blazing, and it's still possible for this to happen, I'm not completely ruling out that one team won't make a ridiculous offer that New England can't refuse and does get them to trade out of this pick. It's still a safe bet for Drake May, because if a team is trading up to this pick, trading with New England, they're not trading for it to take, theoretically, but they're not trading for it to take Marvin Harrison. They're not trading for it to take JJ McCarthy. They're trading for the specific pick to take Drake May. So that is why we feel comfortable here sticking with this nice solid bet of Drake May as the third overall pick. Now, moving on to a little bit more spicy takes here. When we're looking at this, right, we're talking about these last two that we've talked about. These were kind of boring odds, right? We were at minus 130, minus 160. Those were the vanilla picks, but we're going to get a little bit spicy here and talk about ones who are going to be some big return picks, and you should feel actually pretty comfortable with betting them right now. But before I dive into that, we're going to take a quick little break here and hear a word from our sponsor.
Oh, hey, it's Mr. Breakout Finder coming at you. The Breakout Finder features three key tools: a database of metrics that includes speed score, college dominator, breakout age, but also Breakout Finder only stats like dynamic score, level of competition, teammate score. All of these things are part of the overall Breakout Finder algorithm that pinpoints the probability that a player will break out. Everyone's talking about my model does this and my model does that. Well, we give you the data points that go into the model. We have a feature that lets you compare players, and then we give you the precise probability of every wide receiver, every running back, sorted and filterable by class year. So when I'm talking to my friends and I need to show them why I'm so bullish on player X, I pull out the Breakout Finder and bam, there he is. So go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's $5 to get the Breakout Finder, and then a couple extra bucks to get some of these additional enhanced stats. Go download it and thank me later.
All right. We did the vanilla, the kind of little boring picks right there. We're going to get into the spicier ones here of the prop bets that I like. And it is with picks 4 and 5. Now, before we dive into these picks, I have got some odd movements for you here. So this is very interesting. So when I first looked at lines for JJ McCarthy at picks 4 and 5, the odds were at plus 300 for JJ at pick 4 and plus 450 for JJ at pick 5. Those odds as of today, this afternoon, are currently at plus 175 at pick 4 and plus 275 at pick 5. Very interesting shift here. It is becoming more and more evident that JJ McCarthy making it past pick 6 is just very unlikely to happen. I know that we've got some mild Will Levis PTSD, but I do not think that is happening here with JJ McCarthy. So when we're looking at prop bets around JJ McCarthy and his positioning within this draft, this is a nice little sweet spot for him, because we're getting this kind of feedback here that we've got a nice little bubble that we can hone in on, and we don't have to worry about, you know, what happens if JJ McCarthy falls a little bit further, right? Because it's looking like this specific position is a little bit locked in. I like these odds. So let's talk through what my preference here is. If quarterbacks go 1 through 3, teams will come knocking at the door for that fourth pick in order to trade up for presumably JJ McCarthy. Arizona has traded back in the past, but they have a very, very clear need for a wide receiver one. And, you know, trading back for them and being able to get that wide receiver one, it would have to be a top 10 pick. And that is the problem here, and where that helps us kind of hone in on what we're doing with these prop bets. A team like Minnesota, right, coming in, and or Denver as well, or even Vegas coming in would be a little bit more complicated for Arizona to make that trade. Because if they trade out of it, they would have to trade back into the top 10 in order to fill their wide receiver one issue. Because when we're looking at these players here, and we're talking about this elite top tier of Marvin Harrison, Blake Neighbors, and Rome Odunze, likelihood of any of them making outside of the top 10, slim to none, right? So when we're looking at the likelihood of Arizona making this trade with any of those teams, it gets very difficult for them because then they have to maneuver back in and try and figure out who is going to trade and what the value of that is going to be. I just think it ultimately gets a little messy. I know that realistically it can happen. You can trade out of it and then trade back in. But with multiple teams needing these elite receivers, we've also got rumors around a team like Indianapolis trading up and wanting to grab one of these guys as well. So it's not as if these guys here are just going to be ripe for the picking, right? If quarterbacks go 1 through 4, or 1 through 3, and then we've got J.J. McCarthy here and is a wild card as well, and the Giants don't get them. Again, Giants more than likely would be taking a receiver if they don't get a quarterback there. So things get kind of messy and very risky for Arizona, and they cannot afford to not get one of these top three. So from that perspective, I just don't think that Arizona has the flexibility to trade out of this pick. I think they'll entertain it because there's always some kind of massive sweetheart deal that could come, that could just make you say, man, it's worth it for us to just mail it in, right? And just, you know, figure out if we can get into the wide receiver, what we can do, you know, we'll make it work because it's just, this is too good for us to pass up. But I just don't think that's the case here. When you're looking at a team like the Chargers at pick 5, again, when we're looking at that offense, new coaches, new system, they're going to be run heavy. They do have bodies. Do we love those bodies as a receiver? I love Josh Palmer, right? Is Quentin Johnston going to be able to step up? Jury is still out on that one, but they do have bodies, and it's a little bit different of a situation than Arizona because they want to be run heavy, so they don't have to have desperately draft that marquee wide receiver. They can make it work with another wide receiver if they don't get one of those top three. Arizona can't afford to do that. So when we're looking at the 4th overall pick, there's only really 2 scenarios that I can see happening here for us to kind of base our prop bets off, right? So the Cardinals, they either trade with the Giants. Maybe the Giants want to jump up and ensure that they snag J.J. McCarthy. Moving up a couple of spots, not going to be that aggressively expensive for them. And that would still allow Arizona to be able to take a guy like Malik Nabers, right? So you can still get your marquee wide receiver and the Giants can get their quarterback. And that is a match made in heaven in terms of a trade partner. But the Giants don't have to do that if they don't want to. So if that scenario doesn't happen, then the Cardinals can just take Marvin Harrison. And that would leave teams trading up for the 5th overall pick for JJ. And I think the Chargers, again, they have just a lot more flexibility with what they want out of that draft pick. They're not tied to a specific position. They're not saying we have to take the top receiver here. They want a lineman. We know that for a fact. They could take pick hauls. They've got a lot of flexibility here. And I think that they are the ideal trade target. So my preference here is to just go ahead and take the plunge and say that we are betting J.J. McCarthy specifically at pick 5. And the odds are +275. So that's good here. And we've also got a couple of interesting little tidbits when we're comparing these odds as well. So we're talking about J.J. McCarthy's odds at pick 5 right now at +275. So here's an interesting one. The odds for J.J. McCarthy at at pick 4, +175, at pick 5, +275. But do you want to know what his top 5 pick odds are? -175. Interesting. And his draft position line is at 5.5 at -150. So the odds are in favor of him being a top 5 pick. It's just hard to specifically nail which one. So I lean on picking him specifically for your prop bet for pick 5. So instead of betting on, let's say, -175 for him to go in the top 10, just go ahead and do +275 for pick 5 specifically. Literally just like a 50-50 shot at a fantastic return. And I really lean heavily on the 5th pick being the one. So you place the bet for pick 5 versus the top 5. He goes at pick 5 and the return is great for you. I specifically love that. Is literally probably one of my favorite bets of this entire draft. Now I know We have heard a lot of rumors about the Patriots and JJ McCarthy and possibly taking him. We talked about that on last week's show, if you want to check that out. I talked through the thought process of why they would be considering JJ McCarthy and why it's understandable if they really do love him. But we also talked about the ramifications of taking that pick and leaving a prospect like May or Daniels theoretically on the board. So likelihood of that happening, slim to none. We feel confident and comfortable with JJ McCarthy bets at pick 5 specifically. But again, monitor the news. I would go ahead and make this bet because I love the odds right now. But again, monitor the news, monitor and kind of read between the lines in terms of those fake and real narratives. The way that I like to read between the lines, and this is especially helpful when making these bets in general, visits are visits, right? Reports are reports. Everybody's visiting everywhere, right? We've got the New York Giants bringing in literally anyone and everyone at quarterback. But I don't like to lean into those reports. What I like to lean into is in terms of reports that we are getting in terms of how GMs as a whole, like what is the way that GMs as a whole, not one specific team, is looking at a player. And that's the best way that I found to kind of gauge whether or not something is real news or fake news and if that's actually going to happen. Like we're talking about last year, a lot of fantasy analysts were obviously in that scared of Jahmyr Gibbs era. A lot of people were mocking him to the second, saying that, you know, it just wasn't worth it. He was not going to be a first round pick. I was not one of those people. Reason why is because there were just way too many consistent reports, specifically that GMs and teams as a whole consensus were looking at Gibbs as in the elite tier directly behind Bijan, and the gap was a lot slimmer than people were wanting it to be. So if I hear that the gap is just super, super slim and that realistically just all teams in general feel like JJ McCarthy is, you know, worthy of the second overall pick, and I can start to adjust on that. But if we're not getting that kind of news, just stick with what we know as a whole in terms of how these quarterbacks are being ranked. Now, moving on to something that feels like a pick that we can absolutely nail. Let's talk defense here for a second. I really like Dallas Turner at the 8th overall pick at plus 180. I love, love, love this specifically. I feel like we can nail this pick to the Falcons. I am still mildly terrified, right, that we could get Rome Odunze to the Falcons. Crossing my fingers that that doesn't happen, but that's such a Falcons thing to do. It'd be good for them. I'm crossing my fingers, not specifically for them, but for our purposes and for our fantasy purposes. It's the Falcons, right? You know, you get terrified because obviously, technically speaking, it could happen, right? Because when we're looking at the Falcons, they have been defying all odds, right? They have taken a tight end. They have taken a wide receiver. They have taken a running back 3 straight years in the top 10. So for them to take another wide receiver in the top 10 is not far-fetched, right? It's within the realm of possibility because the Falcons are the Falcons, right? But realistically, more than likely, this pick is being consistently mocked as Dallas Turner to the Falcons. When it happens consistently at the rate it's been happening, it just feels like such a solid prop, and we're getting a really good return there. So I absolutely love that. Let me see here. We got some comments here for sure. Hey, Rachel. Jury is still out on Quentin Johnston for sure. Yeah. The thing about Quentin Johnston is that not that I have faith on him to bounce back, but I do have faith that the Chargers are going to give him an additional chance. Like when we look at Treylon Burks and the language that the Titans have been using around Treylon Burks, it feels like they have written him off. Obviously, it's just not like, you know, he's not going to be with the team or anything like that. But in terms of him being a starter in that offense, the way that they're speaking, they're not speaking about him on the field. They're speaking about Calvin Ridley. They're speaking about DeAndre Hopkins. And they're speaking about somebody else stepping up in the slot. And Treylon Burks is not one of those people, right? So when we're looking at that, you can feel pretty confident that, hey, you know, from the way that the organization is speaking about him, they don't feel highly around him. And it feels like they're not going to give him that chance to work his way in, right? Because he just doesn't fit into the vision of where they're taking this offense, right? But when the Chargers are talking about Quentin Johnson, they're speaking positively, right? And realistically, is he going to break out in that offense and thrive? I don't feel good about it, but I do feel good about the fact that they are going to give him a chance to do so. And they've got time. This is a new organization, new head coach. So when we're talking about that from that perspective, it feels like they feel okay with Palmer, Quentin Johnston, and adding another receiver, and that they don't have to technically take one of the top marquee receivers. I think they would if Marvin Harrison is there at pick number 5, that's hard to pass up, right? That's hard for them to pass up. It feels like that would be a massive mistake. I can see that happening there. But provided that he's not available and he's being taken at the 4th by Arizona, I think more than likely we're going to see them not take a receiver at that pick. But we'll get to that specifically in a second. Who do I like more between? Oh, good question. So for those of you who are listening on the podcast, I'm reading the live questions here. Who do you like more between Jamari Thrash and Luke McCaffrey? That one is tough because I feel like the upside is a lot higher for Jamari Thrash. And obviously Luke McCaffrey does come with some benefits. Obviously pedigree is one of them, but he also seems like somebody who has, and this feels terrible to say, but does have strong fundamentals, right? And the ability to be a solid player within the NFL. But I think the ceiling is higher for Jamari Thrash. I liked him more specifically. I wish he had performed a little bit better at the Senior Bowl and really stood out and just had that moment where you looked at him and felt like he could really not be a first round pick, but could be someone on a day 2 pick that could make an impact in an offense. I still think like the possibility is there. So for me, it's Jamari Thrash that I prefer over Luke McCaffrey. And here's a comment here as well from Jared Dean. Titans could be a candidate to take Neighbors. We'll talk about the Titans here in a second because I would not put it past them as well. If Neighbors was there for them to take Neighbors as well. The only thing about that is that I think there's so much here that hinges on the Giants and what they do. The Giants are the pivotal role here, right? And what they intend to do. Because they have the ability to trade up and not have to make a massive investment, because moving back to the 6th overall pick you're still snagging a very fine prospect there. So the Giants actually hold, and we got the reports today that the Giants have been receiving a ton of calls for that 6th overall pick because it's such a pivotal position. You are almost guaranteed to at the very least get Neighbors there. And I don't think there's a reality in which Marvin Harrison will be there, but you're guaranteed to get Neighbors there. You could go the direction if you feel so strongly or confidently about Brock Bowers. I don't think he'll go there, but you have that option as well. You have the option to go defense. You have the option to go offensive line there. You could, if you're very passionate, you could go Joe Alt there. So yeah, that 6th overall pick is a very, very appealing spot. And the Giants are gonna kind of dictate what happens with this draft and what they choose to do. If they choose to stand pat and not trade up, that is going to massively, massively affect this draft. So it'll be very interesting. Just kind of monitor news around the Giants and what they do, because their role within this draft is a lot more pivotal than people might be realizing. But yeah, if Neighbors was there and the Giants didn't take him at the 6th overall pick, the Titans taking Neighbors is a very, very strong possibility, because we got to realize, and this is also why I think, you know, Rome Odunze to Chicago is a possibility as well, because you got to realize that even when these teams have two, you know, strong overall wide receivers, in Chicago, you're talking about DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, Tennessee, you're talking about DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley. You do got to account for the fact that each one of those teams has an aging receiver and they're going to still perform well. I still believe in, I always believe in Keenan Allen. If you watch me in season, you know, I believe in Keenan Allen more than anybody in the world. But you can't deny the fact that he is up there in age, right? So it's very possible for a team like Tennessee or Chicago to draft a wide receiver there, because they need to prepare for the possibility that they will need another strong wide receiver immediately next year. And that's probably a more realistic situation with and I might be tipping my hat here. I think I was going to talk about Roma Dunze specifically, but that is a very specific situation that is very real for Chicago. Keenan Allen is there. I mean, this is the last year of his contract. So it's 1 year situation, 32 years old, right? I think literally like 10 days or something like that. So when you're looking at that, you do have to consider that wide receivers, and that's why I don't think that they're going to get outside of the top 10 picks. I don't think any of these three are going to get outside of the top 10 picks because there are so many teams that take them, even the ones that seem like they have solid receiving cores. And then comment here as well on the live. The comments made by neighbor, comments neighbors made about the Giants needing to get a quarterback that can get him the ball seem a little bit interesting. And it's very possible that the Giants can be one of those teams that takes a wide receiver at six and then still gets in another quarterback, because we know that they're interested in both Michael Penix and Bo Nix. So them not getting one of the top four doesn't mean that they are not taking a quarterback. So very real possibility there. We got one more question here from Inside Leverage Miami. Can you see Brian Thomas Jr. being in the top 10 conversation? I don't see it. Specifically, just lining up the picks there. I guess we can maybe dive into... Actually, yeah, here. We can... And here's the reason why I don't see it. The next player that I was going to talk about was a draft position prop for Rome Odunze specifically. And this is why I don't think it's possible for Brian Thomas to go into the top 10 conversation. So the prop that I like on Rome Odunze is taking the over on his draft position at 8.5 for plus 100. I love Rome Odunze. He's one of my guys for this season. I think it's actually written down in, not in paper because it's on the website. I think on the player profiler website on my my analyst profile, I'm 99% sure that Rome Odunze is one of my top three guys on there. My guys for the season, because I absolutely have loved him for a while now. But unfortunately, and this is not a knock on him whatsoever, it's just math. If we are really thinking that JJ McCarthy, and we talked about this, so let's, you know, math it out. If JJ McCarthy is not getting past the Giants, we legitimately believe that there are going to be four quarterbacks locking up those top 10 picks. So we got one picks. Let's say they go picks 1 through 4, right? We've locked that up. Then we add in Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. That would put us at 6 picks locked up. That would leave 2 spots here. So looking at the 7th pick, it's tough to imagine that Joe Alt does not go before the 8th pick. And I have wanted so badly to try to figure out a way to do a bet on Joe Alt, but there's not really one that like just like value wise makes a lot of sense. His line is set at for his draft position is set at 7.5 at minus 300. It's going to be very, very hard for him to fall outside of the top 10. And one of the most common mocks for him is to the Tennessee Titans. That is exactly where I like him as well, assuming that the Chargers don't take him, trading with somebody or trading, you know, not trading out of that pick and they take Joe Alt at that 5th overall pick. But when we're looking at that again, so we're saying Joe Alt as well. One that we talked about was Dallas Turner to Atlanta. That takes us through the 8th overall pick. So we're talking 4 quarterbacks, 2 wide receivers, Joe Alt, plus Dallas Turner to the Falcons. Rome Odunze cannot theoretically, unless we do have some leeway in terms of Rome Odunze going to a team like the Titans or even to Atlanta, technically, more than likely is going to be at the very least the 9th overall pick. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Again, we talked about Chicago potentially taking Rome Odunze there, but trading out as well makes a lot of sense for Chicago in that spot. And we've heard the rumors about other teams wanting to trade up specifically for a top wide receiver. So it's possible that Chicago could take a haul right there in order for somebody to trade up for Rome Odunze. So let's say that somebody trades up or Chicago takes Rome Odunze at pick 9. that would mean that the only opportunity for Brian Thomas to make it into the top 10 is going to specifically be to the Jets. It's not a lot of leeway there. I don't think that it's going to happen. Brock Bowers is one of the ones that's most commonly mocked to the Jets. It's possible that they could take Brian Thomas at that position, but it just feels like a little bit of an overdraft specifically for them. And so I lean towards him being drafted a little bit later. Again, going back to Rome Odunze and this pick at this draft prop specifically at over 8.5 for +100. It just seems like the sweet spot for him, regardless of who's taking him, whether it's Chicago or a trade target as well. Again, decent return there specifically. And we're also looking at, do you want to specifically bet him for pick 9? Not a huge advantage for doing that. So I would just go with the over on Rome Odunze at 8.5. Makes a lot of sense there. We're going to go to a question here as well from the chat from GDLT. Chances of JJ McCarthy going to the Broncos. I'm going to jump ahead to we'll talk about that one specifically in a second, but chances of JJ McCarthy going to the Broncos, a lot higher than you would think. When we talked about our JJ McCarthy bet and him going at pick 4 versus 5, I mentioned the possibility and why I think that pick 5 is the one that makes a whole lot more sense. I mentioned the possibility of the Broncos being one of those teams that's fighting with Minnesota. Now, technically speaking, Vegas could as well, but I just don't know if Vegas is going to spend that aggressive of draft capital specifically for JJ McCarthy. It seems like if they were going to trade up, they had their eyes somewhere else, or they might feel comfortable with taking one of the second tier guys as well. So it looks like, in my opinion, we might have a battle between the Broncos and Minnesota. And the closer we have gotten to draft day, the more I get terrified that Sean Payton could specifically blow this all up and make an aggressive trade here. So I do think that this is a possibility here. JJ McCarthy going to the Broncos is a possibility. There's so many outcomes for JJ McCarthy. That is why when I'm talking about prop bets that we're looking at, I don't like taking any of the bets to him of him specifically to a team. Don't like the bets of him to Denver, to Minnesota, to New England, to the Giants. Again, there's so many possibilities with him. I prefer to specifically lock him into pick number 5, and that could literally be a wide variety of teams, unfortunately. So that's a real possibility here. So when we're looking at some other bets that we can take here, another one that I like here, I mentioned that we had an offensive line prop that I really liked here. Talese Fuaga under 13.5 at -140. Does it tickle our fantasy football fancy? No, but is this an interesting line that can absolutely hit? Yeah, I like this one. I like this one a lot. We're looking at this draft class aside from quarterbacks and receivers. I feel like we're kind of forgetting here that this is a very, very strong class. Fantastic grade, literally an A grade class for offensive tackles. Joe Alt being the only one in the top 14 just feels weird. You feel like one has to go. Some team will get a fantastic deal if we do not see the second tackle off the board until more so the middle portion of the first round. The only way that I think this bet doesn't hit is if both Denver and Vegas lose their minds and draft Knicks and picks here. Let's say they can't trade up and they're frustrated and JJ McCarthy has gone. The Giants made the move and flipped to pick number 4 and they got JJ McCarthy, and now these teams are stuck, unfortunately, trying to figure out what they're going to do at quarterback, and they panic draft. But the reality of both of them doing that in drafting both Knicks and Pennix here. I know some people think that it's very possible for six quarterbacks to go in the first round, which I think technically speaking could happen if there is some panic here. But specifically in the top 14, I do not see it happening. Statistically, I think that Talese Fulaga under 13 and a half is a really, really solid bet here. And then defensive player wise, we also talked about Dallas Turner to the Falcons. But if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to do that specifically, because I see a comment here from the Fantasy Plumber saying that the Falcons, did I say Giants or Falcons? I can't remember if I said Giants or Falcons. It's the Falcons specifically. But saying that the Falcons will not reach for the first defensive player, so likely a trade back. It's possible. It is possible that they trade back if there's interest there, because obviously, you know, that defense, I think, is where they want to go. But they don't have to. When you look at that team as a whole, getting the first guy off the board is not an absolute must situation. So if you don't want to make that bet specifically for Dallas Turner at pick 8, you don't have to. You could go another direction and just say that you want Dallas Turner as the first drafted defensive player at minus 130. It is a solid bet. Again, if you don't want to say that we're doing it specifically to the Falcons, just go ahead and do him as the first defensive player off the board. Odds are decent, and it's a solid, solid pick here. Good, just a good thought process in general. If you are not comfortable with having it specifically at the 8th pick because of the possibility that the Falcons could trade back, you know, it is a possibility here. So awesome. Thank you. Thank you for the comment. And then moving on to, so those are the last bets that I have here that are positive, right? So I want to talk about some of the bets that I am avoiding, right? Because it's not good to talk about the ones that, just the ones that we want to do. We want to talk about the ones that are extra risky to the point where I just don't even want to touch them, right? Specifically, I do not want to touch anything regarding Bo Nix, Michael Penix, or quarterback position totals at all. I don't want to do it. I want so badly to take the over on Bo Nix. I literally sat there and I wrote it in my props and I'm like, I like this personally, because here's the problem here. A lot of times we get very locked into our personal views on players. And when we're making these bets, we got to let go of those personal views here. Personally, I do not believe that Bo Nix is a round one prospect. I think that he is a day two pick. I feel the same thing about Penix just because of the injury risk there. I think they're solid day, and I love Penix, but I think you get a nice injury discount for them. When I'm looking at those two guys, theoretically, they should be day two picks. That's how I feel. But realistically, in terms of what could happen in this draft, I cannot take the under on Bo Nix or Michael Penix on their props, because the problem is they really could go in the first round. It is very possible. Like, as a prospect, again, I just don't see Nix as a round one guy. Just simply, I don't think that he has the skill set to be a difference maker in the NFL. I'm not comparing him to Kenny Pickett, but it has Kenny Pickett written all over him in terms of the situation. And I'll be blunt, I'm the last person to tout the SEC, because obviously you guys know me. I think like my banner is kind of cutting it off, but you guys know me. I'm a Clemson girly. I support my ACC, and I will be the last person in the world to stand up on a hill and scream about the SEC. But realistically, it's a really big red flag when all it took was basically you going to the Pac-10 to break out. Like, when that is the reality of your path, that you were one way specifically as a multi-year starter in the SEC, and then you moved on to the Pac-10, and your breakout unfortunately happened in the Pac-10, and all your stats were just average, and then lo and behold, you move over and you start to light it up in the Pac-10. That's not a shocker. We know why it happened. My son came to visit here. You want to visit, buddy? Yeah. Okay, you can visit for a second. But realistically...
Me.
Yes, that is you. Realistically here, when we're talking about the prospect of Bo Nix, I just don't think that he is worthy of a day one pick. Again, I respect the process. I respect the development, but it's very obvious as to why it happened. But when we are looking at how teams will view him. We're looking at, hey, can you go see daddy real quick? Go see daddy real quick. We're looking at teams that can win what they realistically feel. Okay. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Yes. Thank you. All right. We got the nice little visit there from my son adjusting my volume because apparently maybe I was too loud on the microphone. So if the volume has adjusted on the podcast, it is because he said that I needed to turn down the volume on my microphone. But again, when we're looking at this draft, any other year, I just do not see Bo Nix as a round one pick. Any other year, I don't know if we see Michael Penix as a round one pick, but these teams are very desperate for a quarterback, right? And we know that the cutoff point here, the cutoff tier here is JJ McCarthy. And we know that this man cannot physically get past pick six. So if a team tries to bid for JJ McCarthy and they fail, and we've got multiple teams doing it here, I can see where there's panic that sets in. And specifically, I think the panic might come from Denver. So we had that question come earlier around the chances of JJ McCarthy going to the Broncos. And I think that they are going to make an aggressive bid for JJ McCarthy. I think they will make an aggressive bid for Drake May. I think they will make an aggressive bid regardless to trade up where they see fit to try and get one of the top five quarterbacks because the more that I think about Sean Payton, the more that I wonder that he could be a wee bit unhinged here in terms of what he does. So he's going to make an aggressive bid for one of the top picks. And if he doesn't do it, I can realistically see him taking a quarterback with that 12th overall pick and overdrafting. I can see it happening, unfortunately. When we're looking at him, we're like, Sean Payton, you got a Super Bowl. You've already retired. You've been there, done that. You got the prestige. You've got the big contract and money. What's stopping him from making unhinged, drastic decisions here to get a quarterback? Absolutely nothing. He could absolutely do it. So unfortunately, I cannot take any Bo Nix prop here. I'm avoiding it like the plague. And Michael Penix as well, just because there's, you know, that associated risk as well, that these teams could panic and take a quarterback earlier than they should that is outside of that elite tier. And we're also talking about this. So, you know, aside from that, because both of their props right now are set in terms of their draft position are set at 32.5, which realistically seems decent. At first glance, you're like, yeah, you know, round two picks. Absolutely. I can't do it just because of the associated risk with it. On top of that, you've also got a situation where what if Sean Payton does mortgage the future and trades up to get JJ McCarthy and Minnesota misses out? If Minnesota misses out, or maybe the Giants jump them and, you know, they can't beat out the Giants as well. So if Minnesota misses out on a guy like JJ McCarthy, it's very realistic they can use that 23rd overall pick on a guy like Bo Nix or Michael Penix. That is very, very realistic there. So again, the line for, what is it, quarterback position totals in the first is at 4.5. You can't go with the under on there because it is so, so, so possible that we could have five quarterbacks off the board here. So I cannot touch props around Bo Nix. I cannot touch props around Michael Penix. And I cannot touch props around quarterback position totals at all, unfortunately, even though I would love to, even though I feel oddly, like weirdly passionate about it because I want to be right in terms of evaluating as a prospect. But I have to put on the GM hat and say that, wait a second, just because I don't like this player specifically, or because I think these are day two picks, does not mean that they won't go day one. And I can't risk my money or your money with that. So those are the two that I am avoiding like the plague. I think that wraps it all up in terms of the props there. So just to kind of recap it here for us, because this was a very informational show in terms of specifically. So I don't want to leave you guys sitting here having to run back through and figure out exactly which ones we walked through and what we're taking. So let's wrap it up. Let's go back through and recap everything in case you're watching live and you came in late, or if you're on the podcast version and you're like, wait, what was that? And you don't want to go and, you know, move back and rewind and stuff like that. Let's run through it. Let's run through it. We obviously are not doing anything with the first overall pick. With the second overall pick, we are making our bets on Drake. Jaden Daniels as the second overall pick at minus 160. With the third overall pick, we are taking a bet there on Drake May at minus 130. With the fourth overall pick, we are not taking a pick there just because there's not really a super good return. Again, because realistically, we believe that that pick is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. and that Arizona is not going to trade out. We walked through that. So if you miss it, just rewind a little bit. But the return on that is not fantastic because Vegas thinks that it's also going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. So we're just not going to do that one because there's not a lot of money to be made there. And there is the possibility that there is the trade, but it's just not a one that we want to in terms of our actual return. So we're skipping over pick four. We're not doing anything with that. And we are going to pick five, and we are locking in JJ McCarthy at pick five for plus 275. We've seen some good movement in terms of the odds there. And regardless of who is taking him, pick number five seems like a very, very solid location for JJ McCarthy. Then we went to the eighth overall pick. And if you would like to take a position pick or a specific overall pick for the eighth overall pick, Dallas Turner as the eighth pick at plus 180, a nice little return there for the Falcons. Then draft position wise, another one that we were taking was Rome Odunze over 8.5 at plus 100. We love that one just because the math is mathing for him to go at the ninth overall pick. Who was taking him? That is a big question. Potentially the 10th overall pick as well is one that he could get to. But realistically, for him to go under 8.5 is a little bit difficult unless we get either one of these teams, like the Titans or the Falcons, saying that we want to take a receiver. But more than likely here, we're going to have Rome Odunze over 8.5. Then we also like to hit offensive line. Another prop that we like is Talese Fuaga under 13.5 at minus 140, because realistically, some tackle is going there and it's probably going to be him. He is the second overall rated tackle in this class. And then for first drafted defensive player, we also like Dallas Turner. So if you don't want to take the risk on Dallas Turner, even though the return's good, if you don't want to take the risk on Dallas Turner specifically at the eighth overall pick, just take Dallas Turner as the first defensive player off the board at minus 130. And then bets we are avoiding as a whole. We're not doing anything on Bo Nix, Michael Penix, quarterback position totals. We are not doing it because things could go a little sideways in this draft. And Sean Payton might be the big culprit who was going to make this draft go a little bit sideways here. So watch out for Sean Payton and the chaos that he could cause in our draft. But that wraps it up. That is exciting here. And for a lot of these, you want to go ahead and lock them in because I specifically wanted ones for us where we were getting good return here. And I talked about the ones with JJ McCarthy and Drake May and Jaden Daniels, those top five ones. You just want to go ahead and lock in while we have a lot of this kind of influx quarterback situation and we're getting good returns on those. We'll have a lot more information next week. So go ahead and get those picks in, get those bets in. All right. Outside of that, guys, it's draft week next week. This is so exciting. It feels like we have been waiting forever. For this to happen. And finally, we are 1 week out here. So make sure that you are sticking around with Player Profiler because we will be very active next week. We will have three straight days of NFL draft coverage live from New York, the best fantasy football coverage of the NFL draft available anywhere. Live coverage of the NFL draft itself and the draft house. We have analysts all over the board will be at the draft. Anand, Jason, Seth, Bradley will be at the draft asking players questions, covering everything behind the scenes. I am jealous of them. Maybe next year I can go, right? Somebody lobby for me. Maybe next year I can go. They will be at the draft giving instant reactions to every single pick. And for the first time this year, we are adding post-draft shows at the tail end of day one and day two. Fantasy pick and pick by pick breakdowns from Matt Kelly himself, Theo Grimminger, Memphis Young, and Josh Larkey. NFL pick-by-pick breakdowns from Cody Carpenter, Matt Kiwoom, and Alex Dunlap of Roster Watch. It is going to be fantastic. We've got updated statistical projections live from Dario. So it is going to be fantastic. And I forgot, I got one more prop for you that is not draft-related, but I wanted to give it to you just because as I was going through all of this, I noticed this because I'm just looking through, right? Very interesting here. Not draft-related. AP Coach of the Year, D'Amico Ryans. Look at that. Odds. Very good. Very good. It's not draft related, but I feel like D'Amico was snubbed last year. He was snubbed. It's at plus 1400 right now. He was snubbed last year. Flat out snubbed. I feel like it just makes logical sense for him to come back around. And CJ Stroud had a fantastic year, added Stephon Diggs. I mean, it makes so much sense for them to repeat, make a playoff push, and for D'Amico Ryan to have a good chance at Coach of the Year. So I'm just saying, that's another one for you to look at. Other than that, that wraps things up for the Mailbag Show. Closing thoughts. If you have any questions, you can always hit me up on Twitter at It's Sarah Time. You can tag me. I will respond. And tag me again if I don't, as always. If you're listening on the podcast version, please subscribe. It would be greatly appreciated to Player Profiler and to my Dear Miss Fantasy podcast as well. And if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like the video, drop me a comment. Make sure that you're subscribed to Player Profiler as well. That is it. Catch it again. I don't know if I will catch again next week because I have not decided. I've not talked through if I will actually be doing a show because, you know, as you know, we're live on Thursday nights, and obviously I cannot do that next week. So we'll see. I might have to skip next week and do some draft recap, but I will let you know. So follow me on Twitter, and I will let you know on there. Outside of that, I appreciate you all joining in. It was a fantastic show. You were all wonderful, as always. Have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you again very, very soon.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of this broadcast. If you have any thoughts on it, leave a comment. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a like. And if you want to see more shows on the Player Profiler channel, subscribe to it. That's how we know you want more.